He is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. Happy resurrection morning, Easter morning, church family. We come one last time to Isaiah 49. I do trust, by the way, you'll join us later this morning for our Lord's Day resurrection service on live stream at 10 a.m. as we look at Isaiah's fourth and final servant song, Isaiah 53. The servant is our substitute, the most Christ-centered, Jesus-saturated, clearest picture of Messiah anywhere in the Old Testament. And also tonight at 6 p.m., spending the whole day gazing at our Redeemer in Isaiah, the gospel according to Isaiah, the fifth gospel, as he's been called. But we here are in Isaiah 49. We're here one last time remembering these. We're looking at six prophetic portraits of the servant as our Savior. We've seen him as a prophet, a baby, a weapon, a Jew, a wrestler, and now sixth and finally and climactically as a light. Look there in verse 5. And now says Yahweh, the Lord, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him so that Israel might be gathered to him. Notice Jesus is saying, I was born for this. From Mary's womb, God has been sharpening me as his sword, remember, polishing me as his arrow. I may feel discouraged or disappointed, but how does my God view me? Keep reading. Verse 5, for I'm honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God is my strength. We saw that back in chapter 42, didn't we? The Lord would vindicate his servant. The Lord would give him his spirit. Now, for what mission, what purpose? Well, it was to the Jew first, right? Verse 5 says there, to bring Jacob back to him so that Israel might be gathered to him. Jesus said, go first to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. What was the Apostle Paul's missionary strategy every time he first arrived in a new city? He would always begin at, that's right, the synagogue. And some Jews would get saved each time, though most rejected the gospel. This was why Jesus came, to bring Jacob back first, that Israel might be gathered to him. We can't spiritualize this. We can't just say, oh, the church has now replaced that. Jacob means Jacob. Israel means Israel, like it does throughout the Bible. These are the Jews. But there's more to Christ's mission, much more. Far more. Verse 6, he says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also make you a light of the nations so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. This passage begins as it ends. Isaiah has gone back full circle with a world map in front of us. Our eyes on the unreached frontiers, the fields white unto harvest. He began in verse 1, listen, O islands, pay attention, you peoples from afar. And he ends speaking about the servant of the Lord, the Messiah, Jesus, the Savior, as a light to the nations, reaching the end of the earth. How I praise God for texts like this in the Old Testament. Christian, do you see your name in there? Nations, Gentiles. End of the earth. That's me, Tim, far off Texas, age 15, church going but lost, worshiping sport and friends and self, unreached, stumbling in darkness until this light, this salvation of the Lord came to me, stopped me dead in my tracks, exposed the emptiness of my sin and myself, and brought me to my knees to repent and cry out to God to have mercy on me, forgive my sin because of the blood of his Son sacrificed on the cross, and to give me new life in the Lord Jesus. Light in my darkness. I am the light of the world, Jesus said, John 8:12. He who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Acts 1:8. You shall be my witnesses, Jesus told his disciples, when the Spirit comes upon you. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, probably using this very kind of language from Isaiah in the Old Testament. Beloved, think about it. After Adam and Eve rebelled, God had every right to wipe humanity off the face of the planet and to save no one. Or God could have just chosen to save the Jewish people, and that would have been 100% grace and mercy. In light of our wretched sin and guilt, God owed us Gentiles nothing but punishment. Same as the Jews. We deserve nothing but his holy wrath. We could have been nothing but spectators on the outside looking in with our face pressed up against the glass, watching him love the Jews and save the Jews with our noses at the window. Nothing wrong with that if God wanted to do it that way. But praise his name, he didn't. Look at the text again. It's too small a thing that Messiah would just save the Jews. I'll make you a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. How precious are those two words. Too small, too small. Where would we be if it were not for the big-heartedness of our God, the length and the breadth and the height and the depth of his great love for us in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, crucified and resurrected. Crumbs are falling from the Jewish table for us Gentile dogs, to refer to Mark chapter 7 in a parable of our Lord. Let's gobble up these crumbs gladly. Jesus, the bread of life, offered not just to the Jews, but to the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. This was so hard for the first Christians, the Jewish church in Jerusalem, to grasp. That's why it took persecution from Saul and the authorities to force the Christians out of Jerusalem. A rooftop vision for Peter and an incredible encounter with Cornelius. And then an Antioch church in Acts 11 and following, finally bursting the boundaries and climbing over that high Jewish wall of pride and racism that is a threat for all of us and starting to reach the Gentiles. But from the beginning, our God has always been a global God. His heart is a missionary heart. He wants to be worshipped by people from every tribe and tongue and nation. He wants heaven to be the most multi-ethnic, cross-cultural experience you've ever had for all of eternity, the most international rainbow concert of praise you could ever imagine to the glory of the Lamb. Even in the Old Testament, there are many hints foreshadowing God's global heart, his missionary agenda, Melchizedek, Rahab, Ruth, as we've been learning in Matthew chapter 1 on Sunday mornings, Naaman the Syrian captain, Jonah's mission to Nineveh, the Psalms, God's heart for the peoples to praise him, for the nations to be glad in him. But this is one of the most explicit places of all, Isaiah 49, verse 6. It's been called the Great Commission of the Old Testament. It's why Paul chose this very text in Acts 13, his first missionary journey, at a critical point, explaining why he and Barnabas were now turning away from the angry synagogues and the ungrateful Jews to focus on evangelizing the Gentiles. Why such a huge shift in their missionary strategy? Paul answered with Isaiah 49, "For so the Lord has commanded us." And then he quotes, "I will make you a light to the nations so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth." Notice Paul didn't say only Jesus was the light and salvation to the nations. He said, us, we too, who go in his name, we too are called to bring Christ's light and salvation to the lost. We are sent by God's servant to serve in his name and preach his word and speak with his authority, calling all to repent and believe in Messiah Jesus, the only Savior for sinners. I leave you with this question, friends. Over this Easter weekend and in this coming week, who is God seeking and saving through you? Who is in darkness needing Christ's light? And you will be his ambassador, the only one who can bring it to them, the only Bible they may ever read, the only messenger of Jesus they may ever meet. Who are the unsaved around you that God wants to use you to reach with the glorious news of his salvation? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these four little devotionals and this expository journey we could take through Isaiah's second servant song. Forgive us for our small views of Jesus, for our unbiblical, inadequate, incomplete pictures of the greatness of the Savior. Thank you that you foretold centuries before it happened that your son Jesus, Israel's Messiah, the world's only Savior, would be a prophet. He would be a virgin-born baby in the womb of Mary. He would be the sharpest of weapons. He would be a Jew and born into a certain culture and place and time in history and people, that he would be a wrestler. He would toil and he would ask hard questions, but he would not give up in his humanity. You would sustain him. And most of all, he would be a light for a dark world. In Jesus' saving name we pray. Amen.